We are continuing Surah Kahf, and the verse I recited, verse number 71. So they twain departed, two of them departed, until they embarked upon the ship. He made a hole in it. He said, have you made a hole therein to drown its inmates? You have indeed done a grievous thing. So this is the story of when Prophet Musa and Prophet Khidr went together, right? And the last majlis we talked about in detail about how Prophet Musa went to Prophet Khidr to learn something. So now Allah is continuing his story further. So what happened that first Prophet Khidr said that you will not be able to keep patience with me. He said, if Allah wish, inshallah, I'll keep patience. We reached up to that last time. So now it's going further. So they both departed. Because we remember last time that he was with his student, Yusha bin Nun, but Yusha did not come with him because he said two of them departed. So both departed for the purpose of Musa being taught by Khidr alayhi salam. So they departed and they sat in a ship, and Khidr made a hole in the ship. So he said, Musa could not keep patience. He said, so you made a hole in this ship so that the inmates can get drowned? He questioned him. You have done a grievous thing, he said. He said, you have done a grievous thing. Kala alam akul innaka lan tastataya ma'i sabra. He said, did I not say that you could never bear with me patiently? He said, Khidr said that, why are you asking me question? Didn't I tell you that you will not be able to keep patience with me? So what Musa said? Qala la tu'aqizni bima nasitu wa la turhiqni min amri usra. He said, do not take me into task that I forgot, and be not hard upon me for my affairs. So Musa apologized. He said that please do not do not take me to task that I forgot, and be not hard upon me for my affairs. So don't catch me, please. And don't be hard in my affairs because I could not keep patience. So he was kind of sorry about that. He asked the question and he started saying to Khidr alayhi salam that, you know, don't be hard on my affair. Fantalaqa hatta idha laqiya ghulaman فَقَتَلَهُ قَالَ أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ لَقَدْ جِتَّ شَيْءٍ نُكْرًا. So they twain departed until when they met a lad, I mean a boy, he slew him. He said, slew you an innocent person who had slain none? You have indeed done a horrible thing. See, this is called nukra. You know, in the time of he made the hole in the ship, Musa said, Shain Imra. So there was a grievous thing what he did, making hole in the ship. But now when he killed the boy, he said, Moses, Musa alayhi salam said, Shain Nukra. He said, you did horrible thing. What happened? That when they were going two together, they saw a boy coming, and Khidr killed him. So Musa got upset. He said that you killed an innocent boy who did no crime and you killed him for no reason. And he said that you did an horrible thing. And it looked, apparently it looks horrible, we know that. And he said that. Laka innaka lan tastaqiya ma'i sabra. He said, did I not say that you could never bear with me patiently? He again said, did I not tell you that you would never, lan tastaqiya, never able to keep patience with me? Because he didn't know the realities of thing. So what Musa alayhi salam say? Qala in saltuka an shay'in ba'daha fala tu sahibni qad balaghtu min ladunni udhra. He said, if I question you on anything after this, then keep me company no more. You have received an excuse from me. So now, see how humble Prophet Musa was. He realized his own shortcoming and he said that if I ask you again, then please don't keep me in company, because He wanted to stay with him, right? But he realized that he's bothering Prophet Khidr. So he became humble and he said, if I bother you again, please don't keep me anymore. That was his humbleness. So Prophet ﷺ says that if Musa could keep patience and would have stayed with him, he could have learned 1,000 more things from him. Hatta ida atiya ahla qariyatin nis ta'ama ahlaha fa abaw ayyudayyufuhuma fa fajada fiha jidaran yuridu an yanqad fa qama qala law shitta latakhatta alayhi ajra. So they twain departed until when they reached the people of the town. They asked his people for food, but they refused to make them guest. Then they found in it a wall about to fall, and he set it up. He said, if you had wished, you would have taken a wage for it. Subhanallah. Then they went to the town. This was the third chance he got, Prophet Musa. So they asked for the food for the people of town. They were mean people, that they were hungry, so they refused to feed them. So Prophet Khidr saw a wall which was about to fall. So Prophet Khidr went and fixed the wall. So Prophet Musa says, you could have asked wages for this wall, because we could have been fed, you know. So that's a beautiful point here, you know. Anbiya, you know. See, the two great Anbiyas are there, and they are doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't ask, they were working hard to feed themselves, you know. You know, like, we should learn lesson from this, that we should do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to work hard with our hand, you know, things, so that we can do, we serve Allah for no wages, you know. You know, like, Aima Taharin, they used to work hard in farms. They used to sweat, you know. So somebody came to Masum, said, how come you're sweating so much and working so much in the farm? He said that my grandfather, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and my father, Imam Ali, used to sweat this way in the farms, you know. And not only them, but all prophets used to sweat in the farm to feed themselves. This is the sunnah of Anbiya, you know, to work hard, not just keep giving speeches and get big money from people. Where the barakat will come, you know. This is a great lesson for all of us. We should serve for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should try to take our own business in our hand, feed ourselves, and do for service of Allah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is more blessing in this. Then you could have taken the wages for that. So what he says? Allah haza firaku baini bainika sa unabbika bima ta'wili ma lam tastati' alayhi sabra. He said, this is the separation between me and you. Now I'll inform you of the interpretation of what you could not bear patiently. I'm going to tell you ta'wil, the reality interpretation, which you could not keep patience. Ammas safinatu kana li masakin ya'maluna fil bahri fa aradtu an aibuha wa kana wara'ihim malikun yaqudu kullu safinatin qasba. And as for the ship, it belonged to poor people working on the sea, and I intended to damage it, for there was after them a king who seized every ship by force. He said that the depth of that I made a hole in the ship is because it belonged to some poor people. They used to feed themselves on that ship. And there was a king behind them. They did not know about this king who was taking all these ships, seizing them. So I made it defectful. I made it defectful so that he will not seize, so that they can feed themselves. See, he did not sink the ship. He just made it defective so that they can still survive, you know. That is the beauty of the hikmah, the wisdom. And although he did it with the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but since it was such a grievous thing to make a hole, he tell about himself that I intended to damage. He didn't say that Allah wanted me to damage it. Although he did with the will of Allah, but his humbleness was so much that he said, I intended damages. He didn't say, because in a lot of places he put him and Allah together, but it's so grievous. He said, I intended to do it. Say such a great humbleness. See, that there's a thing that when Allah does give us some trouble, it's for our own good, and we start crying. And just for this example, you know, but Allah wants to do something better for us. you know. And we just get impatient with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَقَانَا أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنِينِ فَخَشِينَا أَنْ يُرْهِقُمَا تُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. And as for the lad, his parents were believers and we were afraid he would impose on them insolence and disbelief. Subhanallah. Although he looks like a beautiful boy. But in reality, what was that? That his parents, Allah allowed his parents because they are believers. And there was a fear that he will lead them in tughyan and kufr, means arrogance and disbelief. In this, we were afraid. He would impose. Who was we were afraid? Allah was afraid. And Khidr was afraid, right? That they will, he will lead them in fear. They were afraid that they'll lead them in arrogance and disbelief. So what kind of fear is this? Because Allah and Prophet never get fearful, we know that. So what is this fear? This fear is not like a real fear like we have. This fear is the fear of the love Allah had for the believer parents and Khidr being the Prophet, having love for him so much that because of the love they had the feeling that he should be protected. It's not like a real fear, you know. No, Allah never fears like us. Prophet never fear like us. It's just the love of them. Caring for those believer parents that he will lead them into destruction for themselves. Buhuma khairam minhu zakatam wa aqrabu rahma. So we did intend that their Lord should change him for them for one better in purity and nearer in affection. So your Lord wanted to change better in purity and nearer in affection. So Masumi said that when that boy was killed, Allah gave them a beautiful daughter after that. And the beautiful daughter had a prophet. She had a prophet after she got married. So Allah changed it. So purity was there. Zakat, you know. خَيْرُ مِنْهُ زَكَاتَهُ وَأَقْرَبُ رَحْمَا. Zakat means purity. Better in purity and near in affection. So she was very affectionate to parents. And she was so pure. See, we just go to superficial, but Allah goes so deep. He loved the purified believer parents so much. But Allah tested those parents too with the Allah tests everybody. There's always wisdom everywhere involved with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should learn lesson that. Don't you think when this boy was killed, they will not be sad? They would be sad, but they must have kept patience because of their believer. And Allah gave such a, gave profits from it, their progeny. We just get upset on the small things and we just start complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is always a depth behind it. وَكَانَ لِقُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَانَ تَحَتُ كَنْزَلُهُمَا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَنْ يَبْلُغَ أَشَدَّهُمَا وَيَسْتَخْرِجَ كَنْزَهُمَا رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَمَا فَعَلْتُ عَنْ أَمْرِي ذَلِكَ تَاوِيلُ مَا لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا. And as for the wall, it belonged to two orphan boys in the city, and beneath it where was a treasure belonging to them. And their father was a righteous man. So your Lord willed that they should attain their maturity and take out their treasure as a mercy from your Lord. And I did not do it of my own accord. This is the interpretation of what you could not bear patiently. Now he's talking about why he fixed the wall. He said that in the town there were two orphans, and their father was a righteous man, and there was a treasure beneath the wall, and wall was about to fall down, and your Lord wanted to fix the wall till they reach the puberty adult, when they become adult and they can take out the treasure. And he said that these things I did not do by mine, but it was a rahmah from your Lord, and that is the interpretation what you could not bear patiently. So your Lord will that they would attain their maturity and take out their treasure. He said that. He put everything to the Lord. When such a great thing was happening, he did not put himself with the Lord this time. Khidr alayhi salam. He just talked about Lord directly. Your Lord will that they should attain their maturity and take out their treasure. Because he just became so humble. He said, "I'm from the Lord. And I did not do fit me." He said, "Dalika Tavilum Vama Falto An Amri." I didn't do with myself these things. Dalika Tavilum Ma Lam Tastatay Alehi Sabra. These are the interpretations which you could not keep patience. So the discussion is this, that this treasure was a hoarding. There's a question. Was it a hoarding? And hoarding is a sin. So if the father was such a believer, why did he hoard things? So first thing is that this verse never says that father, it was father's treasure. The verse only says that father was a believer. We don't know who put it there. But even if the father put it, it must be a great reason rather than just sinning hoarding, you know. And after seeing all these great serious things happening, one like putting hole in the ship, serious grievous thing, you know, which Musa could not keep patience, killing a boy, these things look very small to put it, you know, because we go so superficial about things. The deeper is so beautiful. Now, again question comes, that what was that treasure? The treasure was that, what treasure said was, according to Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. There were only four statements written on this treasure. There is no God but Allah. Whoever is certain of death will not laugh. The heart of whoever is certain of reckoning will not be joyful. See. Whoever is certain of Qadr, Al-Qadr, will fear no one but Allah. Subhanallah. That was a whole treasure. Some say that it was written on the golden plate. But that is immaterial. What is important is those four sentences. Allah wanted to guide those believers' children, you know. He was a righteous man. And Allah wanted to guide them for eternal life. What a beautiful Allah. La ilaha illallah. And whose certain of death will never laugh. And whose heart is certain of reckoning, hisab, will never be joyful. That he's always worried about everything. I was reading the statement, you know. Somebody sent me a clip that Ahmad Khomeini saw that dream, and he saw his father in dream. He said to father, "How are you doing in Barzakh?" He raised his hand and put it down. "Father," he said, "son, I have raised my hand and put it down. I had to give the hisab for this too." Ya Amar Mullah. So the heart of whoever is certain of reckoning will never be joyful. And who is certain of other will not fear anybody but Allah. So Allah wanted to guide the children of the believer parents. You know, our sixth Imam says about the beauty of the father is righteous. What happens to progeny? There is a statement, there is a hadith from our sixth Imam, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam. Because of man's righteousness, Allah makes his children and his children's children righteous. He will protect them in his house and in the house around him, and they will remain in Allah's protection because of his being precious to Allah. So Allah, because of parents' righteousness, the children and grandchildren come righteous. We see righteous children, you know, we see in our life every time. If you see ulama and you see the children, mostly they're righteous because of parents being righteous. This is Allah's grace. Although environment is important, that they give them kind of environment, but Allah's grace comes with that environment. Allah makes them righteous. Allah guides them and protects them. So this is Allah's blessing, that if parents are righteous, the children become righteous, and Allah protect that house. And we saw in the previous example that their child was kafir, and Allah was afraid of those righteous parents, that that child can destroy their religion. Allah took him away. So Allah protects believers so much, and Allah guides children through righteous parents. So these are the beautiful things which we, these are the testing and trial, and these are the mysteries and secrets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should learn in our life that things happen, and we should see, and so we should, whenever anything comes to us, everything is good for us. Everything is beautiful for us, whatever comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is always the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever comes to us. We pray to Allah that Allah guides us through these verses of Quran and Hakim to deal with our life. And finally, we come back to the point that when these two great prophets were in the city, they asked for food and they denied to serve them. Apparently, they were not invited in their town, but they asked for food and they did. They denied to serve them. They were hungry. But what Imam Hussain alayhi salam, people of Kufa, they invited them. They wrote so many letters to Imam, please come Imam, we'll help you, we'll serve you, please come and guide us. Imam came with the hope of being helped by the people of Kufa, that they will support him. Instead, Kufa people surrounded him. Kufa people did not serve him. They starved his and his family's water and food and everything. And they were hungry and thirsty for 3 days. Especially the children were so much hungry and thirsty. And you see that among all the shohada, all the martyrs, if you see the Imam Hussain was the last one who got martyred. And he was most hungry and most thirsty among all the martyrs. Quran says that Allah will not give any nafs more than what he can bear. So Imam Hussain was the one who was the most thirsty and more hungry from the people of Kufa. So when he fell down, you know, we see all those martyrs. That was only Imam Hussain who had two most grievous troubles. First one was he was most thirsty and hungry. And second grievous trouble was even more painful, that any martyr, when he fell down, he called Imam for help. And Imam helped him. But when Imam Hussain fell down, most thirsty, more hungry, nobody came to help him. And Shimr-e Mahloon sat down on his chest with the most relaxed face, as if nobody wanted to attack him. And he cut Imam Hussain's head. And that was the most grievous thing that this earth has watched. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.